Well, this world, it's not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what would I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. Fixed it up with Jesus many years ago. I know he'll see me through, though I am weak and poor. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what could I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just over in the glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. The songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what would I do? Me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. This world, it's not my home. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what would I do?
Feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just over in the glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. The songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. Heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? When your angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Amen. Is that how you feel this evening?
Amen.
Amen. Good to be gathered together again to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. I hope those of you that traveled here long ways to be here made it safely and didn't have any troubles on the roads. Good to have you with us, and good to be together under a common bond that we believe that God sent a prophet in this age with a vindicated message to call a bride of Jesus Christ out. Amen. God bless you. We've got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord tonight. But before we do, just want to make a couple of announcements. Most of you probably know, but we'll be having service again tomorrow night at 7:30. And then also at 11 o'clock Sunday morning.
And then for your children and things after the service, if you're going to let them out back at all around the playground, make sure that you're with them. And the neighborhoods in behind here, some of them aren't the best, and I just don't want a kid out there playing by themselves or something, or the children out there. So if you're going to let your children play out back, please attend them and keep an eye on them. And Sister Buckles, she's in the hospital. She's got fluid from her heart leaking into her lungs, which caused an infection. And so the doctors are treating her with some medicines that have just caused her some side effects before. So we want to remember her in prayer that they'll be able to find an alternate way to treat that, or that the Lord just heal her completely to where she won't have to have any treatment. But and also, Sister April Stutzman's newborn niece, Afton Beletka, is having some tests ran, and they want to remember her in prayer that the Lord just come on the scene. They said they may have to keep her in the hospital for a week, and just want to remember her in prayer. And then Sister Whitney Jones's dad is in the hospital with heart problems. Want to remember him in prayer. And want to continue to remember little Liliana Williams, who's in the hospital. She's just a few days old, and Satan's really tried to fight her and give her all kinds of different problems. But we know the God that created her body is able to heal her body. So we'll just be believing together. How many have an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. Oh, the Lord sees each one. Brother Daniel, would you come tonight? Brother Daniel Andes, and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests. Good to have him with us. And all of you visitors, good to have you here. All you home folks, good to have you too.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, it's so good to be gathered in your name tonight. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Lord, we just magnify you tonight and lift you up, Lord Jesus. We love you. Father, we're gathered to tell you that you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We believe you died and rose again, Lord, to pay for our salvation, Lord. You sent your Holy Spirit to live back in us, Lord. You give us a desire in this dark, evil age that we live in, Lord, to come to your house tonight. We just want to thank you tonight for that desire you placed down in our heart, Lord Jesus. Lord, where would we be if you hadn't given us that desire, Lord, to be a Christian, Lord, to repent of our sins? And we just come together to magnify you tonight. Lord, your word says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them out of them all, Father. Amen. Lord, you know the needs of the little Williams baby as it's there in the hospital. Father, we place our faith with Zach and Micah there, Father, that you'll raise the baby up, Lord. And truly every day, the last 7 days have been a miracle, Lord. And we're asking that you would continue to heal the baby, Lord, and cause it to get well every day, Lord. May it gain strength, Father. And the other little baby that's going to have the test, Lord, you're the healer of all of our diseases and all of our sicknesses. Lord Jesus. Father, our Sister Buckles, Lord, who's sick in the hospital, we pray you would touch her body also, Father, and the other man that has a problem in his body, Lord. You're our healer, Lord Jesus. You said whatsoever things you desire when you're praying, believe it, and you shall have what you ask for. And tonight, Lord, even the saints with their hands lifted, Lord, their unspoken requests, you know the needs tonight, Lord Jesus, behind every hand. Lord, you're not a God of wood and stone, but we believe you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I pray, Lord, even as we lift our request to you, Lord, and you know what's behind those hands. As Brother Donnie has come to preach the word of God, Lord, you're still a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. I pray the word of God would discern our needs and go up, walk up and down every aisle, Lord Jesus, and touch our hearts and minister to our needs, Father, we pray. We ask, Lord, as we're standing in your presence, that you would forgive us of our sins, Lord. Forgive us of our trespasses, Lord Jesus. We need a bleeding lamb, Lord, that would wash us in his blood. And we ask, Lord, you would cleanse us of our sins. Help us tonight. Pour out your spirit. Inspire us tonight, Lord. And when we would leave, we would say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Bless this service now, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this evening. We got a special from the Harem Bassics and the Nicholson families at this time, if they'd come.
Cover me through the
Peace that passes all I understand. Cover me, cover me.
We got a special forces this evening. I think Brother Larry's going to play for him.
Crossing the calm sea with Jesus, the disciples were getting concerned. Not care that we perish. Oh, we're helpless and we're so afraid. Jesus arose when they called him and said to them, "Where is your faith? Because you prayed all night, because you held on with all of your might, child." Because you prayed.
How many's thankful tonight that your cries can still wake the master up? Amen. Maybe your ship's been tossed all around. Maybe you've had all kinds of trouble this week. But don't forget who's in the boat with you. Amen. Let's sing this together. Number 228 in your hymn book if you don't know it.
Oh, as I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. He leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. Oh, this would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light, Lord, to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Let's stand and sing it. Oh, somebody's hand while we sing it tonight. Lord, I need the every eye while I'm through this pilgrim land. Protect me by thy saving power. Oh, yeah. travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. And he leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day, to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light, Lord, to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Lord, I need thee every hour. And while I'm through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy saving power. Oh, heal. Oh, yes, Lord. Lord, look down on me. And when I kneel in prayer, Lord, I know I'll meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. Lord, I need thee every hour.
Amen. You happy to be in service tonight? Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. We've got a special guest speaker with us tonight. But even more important than that, we've got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with us tonight. Because he said that wherever two or three were gathered, he'd be in their midst. As long, there was a stipulation, as long as we're gathered together in his name. There's many groups that would outnumber any message group by millions. But if they're not gathered in his name, what good does it do them? Amen. So we come tonight together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's an honor and a privilege to have Brother Donnie with us this weekend. I told Brother Luke today, I said, people ask me, how long have you known Brother Donnie? And I said, well, I remember him since the only trophy he had was two squirrels in a coffee table. And any of you that know him very well know he's got many more trophies than that now. But Sister Carol turned right back around and she said, well, when people ask me how long they know that I've known you, I tell them I remember the day that he was born. So she can remember back even further than I can. So it's so good to have Brother Donnie and his wife, Sister Carol, with us. And I remember growing up as a little boy, 4 or 5 years old, I used to think, my, if I could ever preach like Brother Donnie or play the guitar like Brother Donnie, I'd be doing all right. And I can't do either. I can't preach like him or play the guitar like him. But God didn't call me to be him, but he did call me, thank God. Amen. Amen. We can't be anybody else. They can't take our place. We can't take theirs. But we appreciate all the gifts that God has given. I appreciate him coming all this way to be with us from Johnson City tonight. Brother Donnie wrote a song many, many years ago, and we sing it here at the church quite a bit. And it's been just a blessing to us every time we sing it. I'm asking if he'd come at this time as we sing this song. How many's thankful that we have a Father God?
Oh, Papa God, you saved me from my old life. You forgave me. You have cleansed and made me whole. Lord, you touched my heart. You changed my soul. Now I know I need you so. Papa God.
Oh, let's just worship the Lord together tonight.
Oh, Papa God, Lord, you saved me from my old life. Oh,
Can we sing it again? Oh, Papa God, you saved me of my whole life. Yes, Lord Jesus, how we sing. Grateful we are for the grace of the Lord. Where would we be tonight if it wasn't for the grace of God? Instead of having a desire to come to church, you might want to be out drinking, getting shot up with dope, living with somebody else's wife. No telling where you'd be if it wasn't for the grace of God. I appreciate God's grace with you. It's a privilege to be able to be here with the saints of God, those of you that attend Brother Nathan's church and other visitors that are here. Certainly an honor to be able to stand before the Queen of Heaven. Let's turn, if you would, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, verse 12. Isaiah, chapter 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. If you look up that word stars and click on it in the Hebrew, you'll find that it says the progeny or the Messiah's brothers. I'm looking at some of them tonight. The stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend. This word ascend, you hear it all the time in its other verbiage of it. It's the Hebrew word Allah. Very famous word in the day we live in. Allah. And it actually means to go up or to climb, to be superior. Now, this is what Satan said. I will Allah. I will Allah above the heights. And the word heights is Bama. I'm sorry, friends. I didn't know y'all didn't know that meant this. Y'all looking at me really, really weird. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like, which means resemble or liken to, the Most High. What a claim. Will He do it? I love the way Brother Bram says this. In verse, paragraph 45 of Come Follow Me, 1963, and from here we'd like to draw our thought for tonight. You make yourself when you're young. You set your ambitions to what you want to do and what you're trying to achieve in life. You think of it, and as you think, of course, your mind, it's presented into your mind by an unknown something that dominates your mind. And then when it comes into your mind, you speak it, then you're going to do it. Then your ambitions drive you to it. Now listen to this again. You make yourself when you're young. You set your ambitions to what you want to do, what you're going to try to achieve in life. You think of it. And as you think, of course, your mind is presented into your mind by an unknown something that dominates your mind. And then when it becomes in your mind, then you speak it, then you're going to do it. Then your ambitions drive you to it. Let's bow our heads together. How many would like to be remembered before the Lord tonight in prayer? God bless you, me too. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We are so grateful, Lord Jesus, that you loved us when we were unlovable. We know, Father, that you wanted a people that would be like you. We were in you before the foundation of the world, your attributes. But yet we did not know you. You knew us, but we were only an attribute form. So we must be expressed in order to give you fulfillment. I mean, oh, your prophet tells us that you desired a people, a world full of sons and daughters of God. We're so grateful that we have been born again, that we have been come from the very mind of God, born by the breath of God, and then filled with the life of God. You see, we've gathered here in this place to worship you, to hear your word, to receive strength, to receive the courage we need to meet the challenge of this hour. We pray that you'd help us. Father, we know if there's anything of eternal value that will come out of this service tonight, it'll have to be you that accomplishes it. And we believe that there will be. You promised us when we gather together, you'd meet with us. Speak to us tonight your word, Father, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. I want to speak to you for just a little while tonight. I'm sure many of you have driven and you've worked today. And I don't want to be too awful long. But I want to speak to you on driven by ambition. Now, I believe, as you believe, that what I just read to you, that Brother Branham said to us, is the truth. It would be something that even the majority of the world would be able to look at today, that to be able to accomplish something, that you have to have an ambition, a desire, something that you want to become. Then you begin to think about it. You begin to speak about it, and then you begin to work toward that goal in order for that to be accomplished in your life. No doubt many of you are sitting here tonight, natural abilities that you have, maybe certain things you wanted to accomplish. You wanted to be a doctor. You wanted to be a lawyer. You wanted to be something, and God gave you the ability to be able to be that. Your ambitions drove you together with all that God gave you, and you're sitting here tonight with that accomplished in your life. That's amazing that Brother Branham catches this. Now, of course, this has come follow me whenever he's speaking to the youth, and it's actually in Tucson, 1963. So he's addressing the young people and how important it is for them to have a desire to be able to accomplish something from the Lord. But I'd like for us to look at it tonight of another being, not just us, but God himself, we know, is not driven so much by ambition as he is driven by his desire of achievement and accomplishment of his own will. Now, ambition would be something that we could all relate to more so than being eternal. None of us can relate to being eternal because we are time beings, creatures of time. We remember things in time. We have no recollection of eternity because we were not beings as it was in the attributes of God. But we were there in his thinking, which means that we was not there as mortal beings as we are tonight. So when you think of how that Brother Branham phrased this, that you make yourself when you're young and you set your ambitions to what you want to do. But then my question would be tonight for this being as we know of as Satan, which started out as being Lucifer. Now we know that God never created sin, nor did God create the devil in the form that the devil is in tonight. But he was created as Lucifer, which was day star or morning star. And he was not created to where he was evil. No sin was a creation of God, never. But sin is a perversion of an original something that God made. So where would Lucifer have been able to come up with this ambition to where it drove him to becoming what he is today? Now, at one time, he was in the presence of God, stood in the very right hand of God. As a matter of fact, question answers 1959, the prophet tells us he was God's right hand man to fellowship. So he was the angel that stopped the approach into deity. Thou art the covering cherub, and I have set thee so. This was his original position in the presence of God. So where would he have got an ambition that would have driven him to be what he is today? Now we know by the word of God that he is the worshipped person of this age. Brother Rand preached it right here in Jeffersonville and called him the God of this evil age and said he was not called that in any other age except this age. What drove him to become such a being? Where would that have come from? Now we know that he was not a little Lucifer and then got older and older and grew up and become an old Lucifer, but no doubt God made the angels, and the prophet tells us in Christ the mystery, God's provided place, several other places, that the first thing that God made was angels. angels. Then he became worship. Before that time, he was not God. He was just the eternal, because God is an object of worship. So there was no time. There was no molecules. There was no atom, no science. There was nothing like that at all, just the eternal. But he wanted to express himself, and he began to create. And the first thing he made was angels, and those angels began to worship him. Now, there was no doubt millions of them. And when God created them, he created them in degrees. We know there are some angels that the Bible calls elect angels. Those angels cannot nor ever will fall. Some angels were created on a degree by which they were put here in a sense of probation, like Adam was in the Garden of Eden. They were placed, God knowing that they would fall, and God giving them the ability to have great power. They can travel and move through dimensional travel. They're able to move in the realm of disease, sickness, all that sort of thing. God knew when they failed that they would actually become demons, and when they did, he would not take away from them that power that they had. This is what we're fighting tonight, demons. Every demon you and I fight every day of our life at one time was an angel of God. What in the world would make an angel want to fall from his position and become a demon? What would motivate them? What would push them? It is the being, it is another being above them, which has such an ambition, a goal, something he wants to accomplish. And that is what? Satan don't want to be a drunk. Satan don't want to be an adulterer. Satan don't want to be many things he talks people into being. What he wants to be is God. You think you want to be like Jesus? You think you want to be like God? And how long have you wanted that? 20 years? 30? 40? We're talking about a being that's wanted to be like this for thousands of years. He can read this Bible right here. He knows what the back of the book says about him. He knows God's going to win. He knows he's going to lose. Does it slow him down? Not at all. Does he get discouraged? Not at all. Every preacher calls him a liar. Every preacher blasts him. Every preacher that preaches the truth says he's a deceiver. He's no good. Stay away from him. Does it slow him down? Not one bit. He comes to church. He's the most faithful member I've got. He's the most faithful member you've got. He's the most faithful member that attends church. We knock him down, we blast him, we tear his hide off, and he's right back every service. And you read in the back of the book and find out you're a winner. And we've got to do everything in the world to encourage you, to get you to believe what the Word says about you. Something wrong with this picture. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you tonight, friends, we have already won by the grace of God. And we can read in the back of the book, the devil has already been defeated by the power of God. Amen. Somebody tell yourself that. I'm a winner. Amen. I'm a winner. We're more than conquerors. And you wonder what then would make this being like this? Why would not preaching discourage him? What if a preacher, you just knew he was preaching right on you? Oh my, he looked right at you when he said it. I mean, he said things some of you would never come back again. And yet the devil is blasted and he's torn to pieces and he comes back service after service. You take the word and defeat him. You have victory after victory after victory. Does the Bible say, I might as well just leave him alone. He's so victorious. He's so powerful. I might as well not even bother him. Not the devil. Why? He's so driven by an ambition to be the devil. An ambition to be evil and wicked in the sense of the way we think wicked. An ambition to be like God. An ambition. He's not a creator. Now remember when God created the angels and he gave them the ability to be able to move in the supernatural realm. And we know that according to the scripture that he gave them the ability. They were created in degrees. There are cherubims. There are seraphims. There are zoons. There are archangels. Arche, which is the first principle in order. So God makes them in degrees. And he makes them and gives them certain ability. Remember Daniel chapter 10. When Daniel was praying and finally the angel of the Lord came down. And he
said, Daniel, your prayer was heard from the first day. Your prayer was heard. And Daniel was wondering, what in the world is going on? But remember where Daniel was. He was in a Gentile kingdom. There was a demon that was put over the dominion. And Satan, here he was, having this angel that had fallen from the very beginning. And yet Daniel's prayer could not be answered because that demon that was over that city ranked higher than the angel of God, which was sent down to penetrate it. And what did he do? He had to send down one which is greater in rank and authority than that demon. You mean when demons fall, they still maintain an element of rank and authority? They sure do. When Elvis Presley backslid away from whatever truth that he knew, did he stop singing? Did he start singing like a frog? Did God take his gift away? Absolutely not. When God gave it to him, it was his, and he'll answer at the day of judgment for a gift of God. When demons, as we know them now, when they stand before God and they will be judged for what they stood for first. And then they will be judged for giving up an estate. And then they will be judged for all the torment they have caused you. Can you imagine when those demons who made you fear, those demons who have made us tremble, when they stand before the Lord God of heaven and he judges them for the way they have treated his bride? Oh, I want to be standing there that day. Praise be to God. I want to be standing there. Can you imagine a being? There is no way for him to win. He's outnumbered. He's outgunned. He's outworded. There's no way for him to win. But he sure don't act like it. To hear him say it, to hear him talk about it, he's God. I ask you, look at the odds. In this age that we live, how many people really around the world serve the true and living God? It would be so small. So the devil's got the majority of the population of the earth. He's got the Shintoism. He's got the Muslims. He's got all these that deny Christ. He's got all those that don't even believe there is a God, right? As far as God's in the minority and always has been. He likes working in the minority. He don't have to have the greatest crowd. He don't have to have the greatest preacher, the greatest church. All he needs is truth. And God takes truth and duplicates that and makes another son, another son, another son. So Satan's outnumbered him in the beginning. Whenever he looked at him in his tail, drew those stars out of heaven. And Satan said, see what I done? When he come down to the Garden of Eden and God had his first woman there, the devil got to her. When he come to Sarah, he tried to get to her. When he come to Israel, he got to her before God did. When he come to the New Testament church, he tried to get her before God did. It looks like on down through the ages, he's got one victory after another, after another. But it only looks like that. Notice this in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. Now listen, we're talking about, of course, Lucifer. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle. Now those of you who read the book of Revelation, you realize these are many of the stones that is on your future home. Satan was in the garden of God. He was covered in beauty, but he was not Satan. Then he was Lucifer. Gold and the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee the day that thou wast created. Oh, I love quoting that to the devil. I absolutely love quoting that to him because it means he had a day he started. And everything with a beginning will have an end. He is not eternal. But listen, friend, oh my, when you are in eternity, that there'll come a time there will be no more sickness, no more pain, no more sin. When there is no more sin, you will be forever. When there is no more evil, when there is no more devil, you'll have no less days to sing God's praise. Why? You never started. Now listen how God describes him to the prophet Ezekiel.
Verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub. And the word cherub is a guardian of Eden flanking God's throne. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, which means to hint, to fence about or to hedge or stop the approach. So if a Zoon or another lower angel come up before the throne of God and he wanted to approach divine presence, he was stopped by Lucifer. What's your request? What do you need from Father? You must have my permission. And God set him that way. But you know what? One day Satan got tired of being the associate pastor in heaven, decided he'd be better off starting his own church. Well, you might as well laugh and say amen, because you know it's the truth. He does the same thing today. Now watch. Thou art the anointed cherub that covered, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Listen to this. Thou wast perfect. Perfect. God can't create anything else besides perfection. But he can create a perfect being and put that being on the ability to choose right from wrong. Now, sin is not a creation. And sin did not begin on the earth. Sin actually began in heaven. This is why we've got to have a new heaven. Demons have walked up and down that heaven. They won't never be in that new city. They walked up before the throne of God. There won't be one demon footstep in that new city. Glory. Thou wast created perfect. Look at the word perfect. Complete, whole, entire, innocent, sound, integrity. The devil that you and I know today, this is him? Well, it was him. It ain't him now. But it was him. Where did he get this drive? Now remember, God's just. In him is the attribute to be Father, Savior, Son, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Tiskanu, Jehovah Rapha. All these millions and millions of attributes. But he cannot be just now and make a man and cause the man to fall and then run over and say, oh, you're lost. Now I'm going to save you. I'm going to redeem you. And make him do it? No way. But he can create a being that will be so much like himself. Except he'll limit that being to creative power. So the being will want to be like God. The being will want to be worshipped. The being will want a church. The being will be so desirous of praise and adoration. He'll take diverted praise. Which is something people don't understand. You understand all those who worship Allah. You know who they're worshiping? The devil. Those who worship Buddhism and Shinto and all the foreign religions around the world, you know who they're worshiping? The devil. I sit in Durban, South Africa several years ago on a big Indian Hindu festival. And I saw them as they were coming up and taking big old long fish hooks. You've heard Brother Ben talk about it. And they'd take those big old long fish hooks and hook them in the backs of these individuals. And they would pull a cart, something like maybe a 4-foot by 6-foot on wheels. And they had all these gods. The last account I had, the Hindus had 33 million gods. Ain't you glad you just got one? So they have different names of all these gods, and they gather around. There'll be maybe a half a dozen people. And maybe if you're going to pull a cart, and you, they'll gather you up, and they get a half a dozen people gather around you. They got little cymbals, and they start hitting them cymbals and chanting and going back and forth and back and forth until you're ready, because they're fixing to take a big long thing and weave it in your tongue. You don't get no lidocaine. You don't get no pain relaxers. And they're going to scream and holler and my, they go to work up. I got it on video. And you watch the people and they're getting wall-eyed and they're getting into this channel. And then all of a sudden they scream and let out a blood-curdling scream. And when they do, they know you're ready. They know you're ready. And they take that pin, and I stood right there and watched that pin weave through their tongue and the big fish hooks in their back. And they're in a trance-like state. And they think and they're worshiping all these gods. Who is it getting that worship? The devil.
It is the devil, because he wants worship so bad. He wants it so bad when folks gather together and they worship God under the auspices of titles. They would never say, I worship you, Satan. I worship you, Satan. But he wants worship so bad, he will take it supposedly in the name of Jesus. They will say, oh, we're worshiping God. We're baptized in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus, we worship you. But unless we worship in spirit and in truth, the Lord Jesus will not receive that worship. Where does it go? This being right here will take it. Maybe I'm weird, okay? I think there'd be something kind of strange about Brother Nathan if after the service you come up and shook his hand and said, Brother Nathan, that was such a good sermon you preached tonight. And I'm going to think there's something strange about you. And if he said, thank you, thank you, thank you. But Satan wants it so bad. He knows millions will never directly worship him with a pentagram, and they'll never take a goat's blood and all that sort of thing. But all he's got to do is sideline them from truth. And God will not receive the worship. Now the prophet tells us in Shreveport 1965, the word interpreted is the manifestation of the name of God. How do we worship? Not just saying the name Jesus. It is his representation of his word. Aren't you glad we're sitting under that revealed word of this hour? The manifestation of the name of God being the word interpreted for this hour. This is God's place of worship. This is the place, not so much this building, but God's place of worship is the revealed word, and that word made flesh in you and I. Oh, think of it. And Satan is so much like God. He wants to be praised and loved and adored. But he'll take it via this way. Oh, God, I love you. God, I love you. And God won't take it. And Satan says, hey, I'll take it. I'll take it. I want it. I want it. I want to be like the Most High. Oh, I've got to have it. I want to be like God. I've got to be like God. Pardon me just a minute. Excuse me, Satan. You want to be like God? We've got one little small test for you. Create us. Let's start with something small. A flea. Oh, you can't create something with life in it. All right, what about a speck of dust? Worship? A church? But creation? He can't touch it. And think of it, when you get the Holy Ghost, you get deity inside of you. You have that creator living in your life. And you have the ability to create an atmosphere. Oh, my. Satan can out-preach me, out-sing me, out-shout me, everything I can do. But there's one thing I can do. He can't. I can live right. Amen. He can't live right. He can out-jump every one of us. He can out-quote us. He can put us to shame. But there's something in us. Our ambition is not driving us to be a big person or be this. That. What is it to be like the Lord Jesus? Is this true? In order to have that word so manifested in us, this is what drives the real bride. Listen to what the scripture says. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day. Ah, happy birthday, devil. So there was a day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Listen, that day on Calvary, Brother Branham said, sin did not start on the earth. Sin started in heaven. Now you think a holy place like heaven? How could it start? Where did it start? In the heart of this being. When he said, I will. You understand why God so hates our arrogance and pride and selfishness? I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'm going to be the biggest preacher. I'm this. I'm... You see where that comes from? That don't come from God. When the Lord Jesus was here on the earth, what did he say? Not my will, but thine be done. It is the reversal of where sin began. You imagine then when this being, all of a sudden one day, it hit him. For who knows how long it was as far as if we would measure time. Then when God created these angels and brought them into existence and made them in their hierarchy and their order, and then all of a sudden this began in this being's heart, and something drove him to this ambition to say, I want to be like the Most High. He never said, I want to be a devil. I want to get dog drunk. I want to smoke me a cigarette. I'm telling you what, I can't wait to get out there and get me a big old chew of backer. I'm going to let that amber run down my mouth. I'm going to get some drunk. Boy, he said, that ain't what the devil said. He said, I want to be like God. I want power, authority, church. I want politics. I want Louisville. I want New Albany. I want Jeffersonville. I ask you, does he have them? Answer me. Does he have them? Does he control all political parties of this day? Is he in control of the White House? He's in control of the White House, but he ain't in control of my house. Glory. Hallelujah. Oh, you ain't nobody. Oh, but I am. I am an attribute of God's thinking. You ought to thank God tonight. He controls the White House. He controls the government in Germany. He controls the government of the world, but he can't control you because you're filled with the power of God. What a blessing. Don't you understand why every devil in hell hates you? Can you imagine a being like this that has such ambition? And the Bible says he was wiser than Daniel. Wiser than Daniel, and yet none of the prophets could be able to withstand him. But in this age, when the Holy Ghost has returned to the church again, through the breaking of the Word of God, and God on the earth living in human beings. Oh, hallelujah. What is a deity? That same Lord Jesus living in our flesh. And the devil controls every government of the world, and he can't have some of you. Well, if I was the devil, that'd make me so mad I'd hate you.
The feelings are mutual. Praise the Lord. I'm not driven by human ambition. I don't want to be nothing in the message. I don't want to be famous. I don't want to be important. I want to be saved. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to be rapture ready. I want to leave this world. I'm not a kingdom building preacher. God knows we've had enough of them in the message as it is. Come on now. You know where them kingdom builders come from? They get their inspiration from the devil, not from the Holy Ghost. The prophet of God was not a kingdom builder. He wanted to be able to put his influence toward one kingdom, and that's the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Brother Branham never desired to build a kingdom of William Branham. There is no such a thing. Oh my, that was built by the prophet of God. But his desire was to be able to establish a relationship between us and God that he could have the preeminence in our lives. Oh my. Notice this. He says sin began in heaven when God put the angels on the same basis that he put human beings on. So this strikes Lucifer's heart. And begins to look around in heaven. And remember, he can't create. So he can't make his own angels. But it just so happens that God made millions of them. And some of them he put on the degree of probation, where they would be able to choose. Satan's soul sinned. He tells us in that day on Calvary, 1960. Satan's soul sinned. So these angels, Satan began to get around. You know, it's like a spirit goes to working in a church. And people become dissatisfied. I'll tell you one thing. I'm so dissatisfied with the church. Brother Nathan, you know, his red hair bothers me enough, but his preaching. And he's so young. I mean, goodness gracious, how in the world could a man that young ever do anything? Ask Jesus. Amen. Ask John the Baptist. Praise the Lord. Oh my, and then they'll get disgruntled, and then it'll move on to somebody else in the church. And well, brother, I know the Lord led you to me. Or I've had the same thing. It must be God. Just because two people are saying the same thing don't mean it's God. Well, praise the Lord. Now I'm meddling in it. But it's the truth anyhow. Now, you think that maybe from one to another, an announcement went out in heaven. Now, remember, these beings had never smoked. They'd never lied. They was not born in sin. They'd never done anything wrong, said anything wrong, thought anything wrong. But a meeting was being held over in the north side of heaven. There's no humans there. There's no demons there. It's all angels. So Lucifer was the speaker. Boy, I imagine he was a speaker too. You imagine he could take what he knew. Remember, he's God's right-hand man. He was right there when God began to create and make a lot of different things, and him standing there and probably overwhelmed them angels with all that he knew. And they're just oohing and awing. Wow. Wow. I didn't know he had that capability, did you? And every amen they give him, boy, he's getting bigger and bigger. Why? Something driving him. Now remember, it's not a creation. It's a choice. It's a choice. A choice. And he began to say, I'll tell you one thing. I'm tired of this. What have we done? Ever since we've been created, all we've done is worshiped him. Everything is about him. We start in the morning, it's about him. At noontime, it's about him. At the evening, it's about him. Heaven's about him. Everything's about him. I thought that's where it's supposed to be.
Amen. Glory.
Now listen, friends, this is scary, but you think, is them angels sitting in maybe a meeting similar to this? They begin to hear this speaker, and he was anointed. Maybe not just so much emotion and shouting, but he had a capability of capturing their attention. Anointed. Maybe first one raises his head and says, that's the truth. Right there it happened to him. Then another one said, I've been thinking the same. There it happened to him. His right of choice. One by one by one. Now this was of no surprise to our Father. As a matter of fact, he had been just sitting back, knowing that it would come to pass. Now, he can't make it happen, but he can allow it to happen. You see, with somebody like Lucifer, all you need is just a little bit of an opportunity. Their own ambition will drive them to it. All he needed was a simple opportunity. Watch. Brother M says, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge where man could take his choice. And Lucifer was given the preeminence to make his choice. He wanted something better than God had. That started the trouble. Again, he says, the Bible said the soul that sins, it shall surely die. How I disagree with the universalists that say Satan will be saved. He sinned. He's the originator of sin. His soul sinned. Satan has a soul. The ability to choose. And he chose, I'm sick of God. I'm sick of attending God's church. Now, he didn't want to be an infidel or an agnostic, but he wanted to be God of his church. Lord Chittle, can you imagine what God has done for us in this day by taking the cover off that devil? And revealing to us, where would we be? Where would we be tonight? Was it not for the message of the hour? Many of you would not be out there drinking and shooting up dope. Many of you would be in some church somewhere. Because you have that inclination to want to be in church. But thank God we're not just in any church. Thank God we're not just going to hear any kind of preaching. But God, by his grace, has opened our eyes to see the message of this hour. A rapturing message which is going to change our bodies. It's not just changing the way we dress and the way we look. But one day as we feed upon this unfailing body word, it is going to change the bodies that we're living in. Our cells will be rearranged. Hallelujah. By the power of God. And there is not enough sickness or death or trouble to stop it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice this again, Brother Bram said, sin did not originate on earth, it originated in heaven. And then it was thrown down out of heaven, cast out of heaven and fell on human beings. Then the battle from angels become human battles. Is that fair? Now remember, when God began to create, he created seven dimensions. Light, matter, time, science, where the unbeliever goes, where the believer goes, and where God is. God knew
that man would be, some would be lost, and he knew some would need a place to go to after their life left their body. So he created a dimension to catch them. God also knew that Satan would be able to pull these demons in the direction they would. And he knew that Satan is a god of chaos. He is a god of trouble. He loves to get folks in divorce. He absolutely loves to see a baby with cancer. Can you imagine what kind of being this is? That he loves to see people divorced. He loves to see America going down the road she's going. He loves to see the corruption that's on the earth. He loves to see people starving to death, physically and spiritually. This is his kingdom. Why would you want to serve him one day? Why would any of us want to give him any of our time? This is what drives him. The thief cometh not before to steal, kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. God does not take pleasure out of people dying or getting sick or suffering. But this being changed from being that mighty Lucifer. And he fell to this estate. To where he can look at a man and a woman getting a divorce. Children going one way. The man going one way. The woman going another. And he can rejoice. Yes. He loves to see a church split. He loves to see people leave the word. He loves it. God have mercy. Brother Bram says, Satan come to destroy God's creation. What God created for himself, he come to destroy it. That's what his purpose is to destroy it. The battle began here on earth and it began in us. And it's been raging ever since. How many of you Christians still fight battles? Well, the rest of you that didn't raise your hands, I want you to come up here and rub some out off on me then. All them devils that must have been bothering you must have moved down to Johnson City. Oh my. Every one of us fights a battle every day. Physical, financial, spiritual, in our home, in our children, in our church. Why? Because Satan considers us a threat. I want to have a good testimony among the saints, don't you? I want to be identified as a brother. I want to be identified as a godly person. But I want to have a powerful testimony down in hell. Amen. Now listen to me. We've been deceived by people. We've been deceived by people because they thought they was good. And boy, they done this, that, and other. But the devil knows whether you're real or not. I want the kind of testimony down in hell that Satan himself and all of his demons know. I'm a Holy Ghost-filled child of God. When demons are assigned to me, I hope they stand down there and cry like a rat eating onions. I hope they stand and say, no, devil, please don't make me go up there to Donnie Reagan. Please, devil, he beats you to death with a word. And then sometimes he gets in the closet and he goes to speak in some kind of language. The devil, you don't know what it's like. Please, devil, please. Wouldn't you hate to be the kind of Christian that when Satan assigns demons, he'll say, so-and-so, I'll go. I love dealing with them. Their tongue is 3 miles long, 14 miles wide. They're the biggest gospel in the church. I'll do it, Satan, I'll do it.
Oh my, think about it. Yeah.
If you're born of God, whether you're a man, woman, boy, or girl, there ought to be something in you that's born to shake hell. We're not born to survive this age. I'm not going to stand before the Lord Jesus that day and him hand me a t-shirt. I survived Laodicea. Oh, I'm barely hanging on. I ain't barely hanging on. My Lord Jesus has hung on for me. Hallelujah. I'm not barely going to be saved. Oh, my. Remember, Lot was a righteous man. And the Bible says if the righteous scarcely be saved, that ain't the bride. The bride ain't scarcely going to be saved. That's the foolish virgin type. The bride was saved before there was ever a world. The bride was already his before there was ever a devil. Amen. There's nothing that can get her. Why? Because God has an ambition. No. Brother Branham don't call it God's ambition, but he calls it the enthusiasm of God. The enthusiasm of God. Not an ambition. Not a selfish motive. A desire to expand his creation. More of himself.
The older I get, the more I look like my daddy. One of the brothers in the church made it, took a picture of me and put it with a picture of my daddy and put them like side by side like that. It about took my breath. How much I look like my dad. I'm not saying my daddy's ugly now. I mean, I'm just saying I was so surprised how much I look like him. Oh, that's one reason I go to church. That's one reason that I play tapes and read the Word of God. Because I want there to be a picture took of me spiritually and held up to my Heavenly Father. Oh, hallelujah. I want to look like him, don't you? I want to act like him. I want to talk like him. I want to be like he'd be in this evil age. If Jesus was here in this age in 2016, I want to be so much like him that the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus putting his arms around us, me and you? Amen. And saying, you're my brothers. I'm not ashamed of you. I don't mind telling you, there's some folks in my family that I'm a little bit ashamed of. Oh, I know none of y'all have that kind of people in your family. Actually, my family was part of the gunslingers that killed your family, which was horse thieves. But I'll tell you one thing, friends. If the Lord Jesus can look at us and say, you are my bride, I am not ashamed to be called your king. What a great thing. Satan has become crowned in this day. And there is one thing that's hindering him from becoming completely and totally in charge of this earth. And you know what that is? It's a handful of people around this world that are in a cult, following some dead man, so they say. And no, he ain't dead. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's not the church. It's not politics. He done got all that. There's one thing. He that now letteth will let until he, the church, Christ, the bride, be taken out of the way. Then shall the wicked be revealed. Can you imagine Pharaoh got so sick and tired of Israel being down there? He said, leave. Get out. I'm longing for the day when devils get so sick of us, they say, would you get out of my face? Would you get out of my Laodicea? And we answer back, not until we're done. We're here to, amen. We're here to spread the light and gather every predestinated seed. I believe I was born to torment hell. You believe what you want to believe. I believe I was ordained to make nervous devils nervous. I believe I was ordained to shine the light. Come on, don't sit there and look at me like that. The prophet of God said a man and a woman can live so close to God that the devil don't know what to do with them. Can you imagine you getting up in the morning, the devil saying, oh no, here he comes. Oh no, here she comes. Or is it the other way around in your house? That you get up and say, devil. Now, I went to that meeting last night, but I didn't mean all them things I said. I just got worked up. I'm sorry, devil. If you're a child of God, it's not in you. It's in us to defy darkness. It's in us to stand for truth. Are you afraid of the devil, Brother Donnie? And myself, are you kidding me? Terrified. But in Jesus, me and Jesus is way more than a match. I mean, Jesus is more than a match, but he just lets me go along sometimes. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad when this world is fixing to collapse? Look at our government. Look at our laws. Look at our rights. Look how it's pressed against us in the last few years. As it keeps going on, we won't be able to preach the truth. But you think that'll stop the people of God? No, sir. Why? They're born of God. They're not born out of an emotional workup. They're born of genuine enthusiasm from God. We lose our friends. We lose our parents. We lose whatever. We lose our church building. If that's what it takes, Lord Jesus, come quickly. If that's what it takes, it's the true saints. The prophet of God talked about a press, and we've looked at it for years and years. Look, it's setting up all around us right now. In every political aspect and all around the world it is. What's it mean? We're closer home. We're closer home. Can I have just a few more minutes? Notice Ezekiel 28:17. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness, splendor, shining. My Brother Abraham says Satan wanted a more glamorous kingdom than Michael. And that's the reason he set up his kingdom in the north. Satan in the beginning and the origin, back in the initial condition, he was full of pomp. He wanted something better than the kingdom of Michael. So he goes over in the north and sets up a kingdom greater, more beautiful. He says, don't you see how beauty is deceitful? How churches today are saying they can build the biggest church or the best pews or the best dressed crowd. Now it's a shame that that's moved in our ranks. It's awful that it used to be in the Baptists and the Church of God and the Pentecostals and all that. My, don't get quiet on me now. Used to, we could preach against homosexuality because it was out yonder. And we could have preached against divorce because it was out yonder. But I'll tell you what, that don't mean we better stop preaching, but we need to open our eyes and realize it's right among us. Satan is being allowed to absolutely come right and draw his battleground right in the ranks of the message of the hour. But that's good. That's real good. Because that lets us know this is the last stand right here. This is it. If we are a restored bride, restored back to that original apostolic faith, and God don't allow him to try that, it proves we are weaker than the original seed. But if God let that prophet come and bring that word, then he takes him off the scene, and then he allows the devil to attack that same word, that proves that word will stand the test. They were the Alpha bride, we are the Omega bride. They stood the test, we will stand the test. Why? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. It is our Father's desire to have a people. Oh my, think of this every time I hear Brother Ram say it. Whenever he talks about this evil age, the very reason God allowed this age is for one purpose. To try his bride. To try his bride. You imagine in the Garden of Eden, no sin, no corruption, no lies, no evil. Every day is perfect. Beautiful and perfect. And Eve couldn't live right in that kind of a setting. And God not asks, but demands that his bride lives right in this day in the most wicked, sinful, dark, corrupt age that's ever been. If Eve couldn't live right in the Garden of Eden, poor thing, she wouldn't hold out a week in this day. Think of it. She couldn't live right in that setting. Look at you. You live in an age when you grope for your sanity. Every day you're under an onslaught of the demons out of hell that come against your family on your job. And if there's anybody that'll take a beating on your job, it's you. If there's anybody that'll get blamed for this and that and that, if there's anybody, my, that'll get blamed for stuff that we didn't even do, it's always been the elect. Why? Because them demons recognize the only real light there is left. You know, I marvel whenever I listen to the tapes and I listen to Brother Branham in discernment. I love hearing how the Spirit of God would call people out. And you know the devil, there's an avenue about him that he has a lot of intellect. But apparently them demons, some of them demons that he recruited from them fallen angels, apparently some of them guys is a few bricks shy of a load. You know, whenever the prophet of God would call somebody out and they'd walk up there and they'd come up there and said, you've got a cancer, you've got this and this and this. And he'd pause all of a sudden and said, that woman right out there has got the same thing. There's a dark streak between you both. Wait a minute, here's another man over here. He's got the same thing. Now can you imagine? Them demons, now that devil's got scared. That demon of cancer moving through the fourth dimension, living inside this individual's body. That demon was scared in front of that gift. Now, if we could call the devil here tonight and ask him what he thought about the devil or about the prophet of God, he'd have a lot of different words to say what you read on a lot of these websites. If we could let the devil come up in them demons out of hell, cancer and TB and all them, I guarantee you one thing. If they could have a website and give a testimony about Brother Ben, they'd be saying a lot of different stories. You know why? When they come up there and they saw that gift in that presence, that demon inside that person's body would get scared to death. But they had enough sense to know when you're in trouble, call for help. I wish we had enough sense to know that. It's amazing to me that folks get in trouble and they miss church. I mean, it's like saying I'm starving to death, but I ain't going to eat no more.
I'm thirsty as I can be, but I ain't drinking no more. People get in trouble and they want to lay out of church. That makes no sense at all to me. When you get down, it's the very time to go to church. When you get weary, when you feel like nobody loves you, that's the time the enemy's attacking you. And what would them demons do? So here's this demon standing here and he said, "Hey, buddy demon, hey, help me." And whoosh, a streak, a line of communication would go between this demon and that demon. Now you're thinking, don't you guys remember when that happened in Minneapolis? Don't y'all remember when that happened in Charlotte? Don't you remember? But this demon is so tore up. And he feels that anointing coming against him, so it ain't enough. So, hey, buddy, hey, hey. And then another. Now here stands a prophet of God with this vision. With this vision to be able to see these streaks. Before he was going to cast out one devil. Now he gets to cast out all of them. Oh, hallelujah! Glory to God! My, think of it! Now he said, I see this and that one and that one. Now in the name of Jesus Christ, he would say, Satan, I adjure you. Amen. You imagine when they went down in hell? This demon in here, all them there said, what did you do that for me for? Don't you remember what he done about you, dummy? He just thought there's one in the building until you tattled on all of us. And then you expose all of us. I couldn't help it. I was scared to death. Amen. Amen. All because one being had an ambition. It drove him for millennia. He's waited for thousands of years to get a window of 3.5 years. That's how long he'll be full king. 3.5 years. So he's went through all this trouble. Destroyed kingdoms. Destroyed thousands and thousands of people's lives. In order to be king for 3.5 years. And you go through things in life and difficulties and tests and trials. Maybe you live 40, 50 years as a Christian. And God turns right around and says, now, because you went through this for me, I will give you eternal life.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
And Satan's done all this for 3.5 years. And all you've went through, as a Christian. And God's going to trade what little bit you went through for eternity. And let you live in this pyramid-shaped city. When the water of life will trickle out from under the throne of God and come down in this brother's backyard and run down under his house, around his house on the sides, and come down through his front yard into your yard, out of your yard into his yard, on down, on down, on down. Where the prophet said, we will work, we will eat, we will live. It's the continuation of this same life with no sin. So you live for God 30 years and you get eternity. Wow. That is quite an investment. Glory. Why would I want to live for the devil? Listen to me, friends. Let me close. If there was no heaven or any hell, I would still want to live for him.
Amen.
He has been so good to me.
Amen.
He has been so good to me. If I lived my life and I ceased to exist and I'm no more than a flower, a tree, or an animal, I'd still rather serve him. Next week I'll turn 60 years old. I've been serving him since I was 12. Been preaching since I was 18. Have any regrets? Plenty of them. Oh, you wish you hadn't been a preacher? No. I regret my failures, my shortcomings. Do I regret living for him? Not one day. I've never drank, never smoked, never run around, had one wife. You know, I mean, all these wonderful things. I thank God for all of those things. Oh, man, you never had no fun. Don't tell me I ain't had no fun. If you ever got so drunk on the Holy Ghost, you didn't know if you was coming or gone. Now, that's real fun. Have you ever been caught up in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and set right at the throne of God? You ain't never lived unless you sit in an atmosphere when the presence of the great Word Himself is there making Himself known. Alcohol can't touch it. None of the rest of the things of the world can touch it.
Let's stand together. Oh my. Now let me ask you tonight. What ambition drives us? Many folks, they share the message for the purpose of building their church or their doctrine. To many folks, all the message is a bunch of doctrines. But let me just tell you, it was not a doctrine that died for you. It was a person. It was not a doctrine that raised from the dead. It was a person. It's not a doctrine that's coming for you. It's a person. And when we're sitting in heaven, we're not going to be discussing doctrine for 3,785 million years. We're going to be rejoicing around the presence of this great one that we have loved. What drives you, even with this message, with this word? Is it to pull people to your group, to your church, to your affiliation? Is that what you want? I would check my ambition if it was. Or is it to lead them to Christ? Do we have the ability, as our prophet did, whenever he didn't have message churches to preach in the way we do, but he would preach in an assembly of God or a Pentecostal, wherever he could, to be able to bring the message and still call them brother and still reach out a hand to them? Praise the Lord. Why? That was the ambition he had, was to help, not put out, not to keep everybody out that you can, but to try to bring everybody in that you can. Even if they're not bride, even if they're Lot, I'd still rather them be Lot than be lost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now we know the Lot type's going to be around us. Remember that Lot type is around Abraham. He was the two Lord guy. Yes. Well, he was. My Lord's. He was the two Lord guy. So, I mean, he didn't have the Godhead all straightened out right. But Abraham still loved him. Amen. Abraham was his intercessor. Abraham interceded for this man, even though he was a penny. But a penny is still worth a penny. What is our ambition? What is our drive? Is it heavenly? Is it divine? Are we kingdom builders as preachers? Or are you a kingdom builder for a preacher? Why in the world would I want to build a little small, tiny Donnie Reagan kingdom? Why would I want to build that? Why would you want to build a little bitty tiny Nathan Bryant kingdom when we can be partakers of the biggest kingdom that has ever been? Is that what you want? Is that really what you want? Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, I realize these things have been very simple tonight, but this is what you placed on my heart. So we take it from you. I pray you'd search each of us tonight, Lord. Begin with me, if you will, Lord. Look at my heart, my motives, my objectives. Help me, Lord Jesus, that my ambitions will not be selfish, self-centered, seeking glory to myself. Help each man, woman, boy, and girl here tonight. Everybody here in this building is under the influence of one of these two powers. Brother Branham said right over here at the tabernacle and preached that. Satan's Eden. He said, they're God this evil age as well. There's two powers in working. He said, one worshiping by wisdom and knowledge and education. The other by revelation. He said, both of those spirits are standing right in this building this morning. Right in the Branham tabernacle. Satan had already moved the attack right up at the message. Help us, Lord Jesus. Oh, may you look at every child, every adult. May our motives, our objectives, our purpose of life, may it be to bring honor and glory to you. Hallelujah. If that's your desire tonight, would you raise your hand to the Lord? I know that you know what's best, my Lord. I want what what you want for me. Lord, I want what you want for me. Amen. I want what you want for me, dear Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Wherever it may lead, and I know that you know what's best. You do, Lord. Hallelujah. I want what you want for me. I do. I want what you want for me. Do you mean that with all your heart? Oh, I want what you want for me, dear Lord. Whatever
softly. How many slip up your hands with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Say, Lord, it's truly the desire of my heart tonight. I don't want something that would be unpleasing to you. I don't want my ambitions. I don't want my desires. I don't want my goals to be anything that would be contrary to what you want. But Lord, I want what you want in my life. I want to follow your leading. I want your perfect will to lead me and guide me. Be with me. Be with my family. Be with my decisions. Is that your desire tonight? Amen. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we appreciate what we've heard tonight. Lord, may it not just be a service that we come to and, Lord, we sing the songs and we hear the preaching. We appreciate it. But may it not be just something, Father, that we come to and we nod our heads to and we say amen to, Father, but may it be something that brings to our remembrance, Lord, that our desires need to be in check, that our ambitions need to be in check.
Lord, not with the pastor's check sheet or our parents' check sheet or some great leader or some man's check sheet, but we need to check up with your word and make sure that when we look into the mirror of your word, that our goals and our desires, our ambitions, that our wants, that what we think are our needs, that they reflect in your image, Father. Lord, that they're not contrary to your word or contrary to your leading for our lives. But help us, Father God, just to put you at the forefront of every decision, of every conversation, of everything that we would try to accomplish, Lord. May we make sure that our ambitions line up with your word, Father. That it's not done through selfish motives or pride or jealousy or something that would come from the enemy, but may our desires be your desires. May our wants be your want. May our will be your will, Father God. Help us to yield to you, Father. Lord, help us to allow you to mold us and make us into what you would want us to be. Lord, if there's something in our life, Father, if it's a habit or if it's a friendship or, Lord, if it's an addiction, whatever it would be that's blocking us from being molded in your image. And every time you try to go and form us and make us and mold us, that there's a little something there preventing us from yielding to you completely. Oh, Father, help us to get that thing out of the way. Give us the strength. Give us the courage to lay those things down. Anything that would hinder us, Father God. We want what you want tonight. We want your will for our lives. Lord, help us not to have an iron will or disposition, but may we just be clay in your hands that you can form us into what your image for us would be, into what your desire for our life would be. Take us back to the potter's wheel again tonight, Father. Remold us again, we pray. We love you, Father. We thank you for what we've heard, Lord. We come expecting this weekend, Lord, for more of you in our lives. Thank you, Father. I want what you want for me, dear Lord. Whatever, wherever what you want for me. I want what you want for me. I bless your name. Oh, I bless your name. Is that what you came to do tonight? I give honor, Lord, I give you praise. You are my life. Oh, you're the truth, the way. I bless your name, Lord, I bless your name. Let's sing it again together. Oh, I bless. Father God, we come tonight just to bless your name. Lord, we give you honor. Oh, we give you praise. You are the life. Oh, Lord, you're the truth, the way. I bless your name. Oh, let's just worship him together tonight. Some midnight hour, oh, if you should find Satan has you in some prison. of his ambition may be in your mind. Just reach out. Bless his name with me tonight. I bless your name. We worship you, Jehovah. Oh, we give you honor. Lord, we give you all the praise. You are my life. You're my everything. You're my truth. A midnight hour, maybe you will find Satan has you in some prison. Maybe it's in your mind. Oh, just reach out and praise. Oh, friend, you can defy his chains. Tried to hinder you. Maybe he tried to keep you from the service tonight. Why don't you tell him to move back and let you bless your Father a while? I bless your name. Oh, Lord, I come to bless your name. Lord, we give you all the honor. I give you my provider. You are more than enough for me, Jehovah Rapha. You're my healer. Stripes I've been set free. Jehovah Shammah, you are with me, and you supply. Let everything else go, but just give me Jesus. Take this world, take their riches, take their popularity. Just give me him tonight. Jehovah Jireh. Oh, we need you, Lord. You're our provider. Worship Him tonight, Jehovah Rapha. Even when the doctor says there's no hope, You're my healer. By Your stripes I've been set. Lord, You're so much more than enough. You are more than enough for me. Is that how you feel tonight? You're more than enough. You are more than enough. Lord, You're so much more than enough. You are more than enough for me.
Amen. Is that how you feel tonight? God bless you. We're going to dismiss in just a moment, but remember service tomorrow night and the rest of the weekend. We'll be praying for the services. Amen. God's good, isn't He? Watch your children in the parking lot. There's a lot of cars and things out there. Make sure you try to keep them with you. We don't want anybody getting hurt. Remember, if you let them play out here in the back area, to keep an eye on them, watch them. And amen. I'm glad I have a Heavenly Father that watches over me. Amen. I would have fallen so many times if it hadn't been for His mercy, if it hadn't been for His grace. Amen. Watching over me. I don't know about you. When I hear preaching like that, I start to get a little homesick. Amen. Let's sing this before we go. Amen. Oh, there's a light in the window. Friends, the tables spread in splendor. I know someone's standing by an open door. I can see that crystal river. Lord, I know I must be near forever. Oh, 'cause I've never been this homesick before. Oh, see the bright light shine. Saints, it's just about home time. Oh, and I can see my Father standing at the door. Been this homesick. Oh, maybe you got somebody waiting on you over there. Oh, I can see my family gathered. Those sweet faces all familiar. But no one's old, no one's feeble anymore. Oh, sometimes my lonesome heart gets crying. Saints, I feel like spreading my wings for flying. 'Cause I've never been this homesick before. Oh, see the bright light shine. It's just about home going time. And I can see my Father standing. Oh, yes, Lord. This world's been a wilderness. Oh, but the bride, she's ready for some deliverance. Oh, Lord, we've never been this homesick before. Let's sing it this way again. Oh, I can see my family gathered.
those sweet faces, so familiar, but no one's old or feeble anymore. When His presence is here, my lonesome heart, it gets to crying. Feel like taking a solo flight and flying. Oh, I've never been this homesick before. Oh, see the vital light sign. It's just about home time. Oh, I can see my Father standing. Bless you this evening. You're dismissed. Let's sing it together as we go. Been this home. It's just about home time. Oh, I can see my Father standing.